This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trueville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Andy Bunker on this beautiful, beautiful, chilly brick Thursday.
That's awful.
So hopefully everybody's
staying
warm.
You know what my daughter said? We went outside this morning to take Jack to daycare. She goes, this wind is mean.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah,
yeah man.
Exactly right.
It is exactly what it is. That wind hit me so damn hard, Andy. It hit like the third rib from the bottom.
God.
I just made me just buckle.
It was like little tiny flurries at our house.
Oh, really?
Nothing crazy.
Right.
It was like, is that snow? Like, it is. There's little bits of snow coming out of the sky.
Look at you right there.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, hopefully
enough.
Everybody is staying warm out there and everything as we closer and closer to the weekend. What was on last night? I was trying to see, was any sports? So I caught a couple college basketball games
last
night.
Watched college basketball. Got started on that Netflix documentary on the Olympic team.
I'm going to wait till Saturday to watch it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because I'm not leaving my house this weekend, so I got something to watch on Saturday.
It's good.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I'll say is, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but like, I don't care that much about the French people,
right.
The French team.
Right.
A lot of French stuff.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of the Canadian stuff.
Yeah.
Fine. I guess it's a documentary about the whole Olympics.
Oh, I thought it was about just us.
I thought it was, too.
Oh.
I found myself fast-forwarding two parts of it.
Oh.
I was like, that's enough interviews with Nicolas Batum.
Right.
All right?
Yeah. Oh,
let's get back to the Anthony Edwards parts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was all about us and everything.
Yeah. Too much French.
Yeah. We're just having fun on off the cuff because, obviously, the big hockey match is tonight between us in Canada. And I was like, is this a rivalry? I mean, because like we usually mud stomp Canada. And, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me take that back.
Do what to them?
Let me take that back. The miracle part, the movie, The Miracle, and people are like, bring it home, boys. And I'm like, there was a completely two different situations.
They're very different situations.
They're very different.
But, I mean, Canada's the power.
Whatever.
Canada's the hockey power.
Whatever.
Hockey's theirs.
Whatever.
And well, that's what's fun about it, is beating them at
When's the last time a Canadian team won a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, then.
Okay.
All right, then.
I know, but you know. That's a bit reductive. You know, a lot of the guys on the American teams that win are Canadian, and they win the gold medal in the Olympics, not every year, but
damn near.
A lot of times. It's their national sport is what it is. So it's fun to beat a team at their national sport.
Yep.
That's kind of what Canada was talking about in the documentary about wanting to beat the U.S. at the Olympics. It's like, well, they think they're so good at basketball. Well, they are. They are good at basketball.
Yeah.
Similarly to Canada and hockey. They are quite good at hockey. So is the U.S.
Yeah,
this U.S. team is really good. They're a little injured.
They're banged up.
Because they fight everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And they play very physically.
You think it starts out like that, like it did last game?
I don't know. I hope.
I'm so curious.
It's pretty funny.
I'm really curious if it starts out because, I mean, it came with the intentions. Are we going to buck? We're going to buck right now.
Well, and I think part of it was like the anthem stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no doubt
they
about
booed
it.
The anthem.
Yeah.
So the anthem won't be booed tonight, or at least ours won't.
Right. Theirs is going to get booed.
Because it's in Boston.
Yeah, theirs is going to probably get
theirs
booed.
Theirs probably will.
And then let's see if they want to buck.
And then maybe they want to fight. Yeah, maybe they want to fight the American guys for that.
I don't know.
I hope so.
I don't know.
That'd be great. Now, again, the fighting was funny. The game was great. Like, the game was legitimately good. I know a lot of the fighting has been focused on, which is fine. Like, that's good. There was three fights in 9 seconds.
That's what I focused on.
It was three quarters of great hockey and physical hockey and really intense competition. And that's, that's sort of there's a lot of different stuff about it. We're not going to spend a ton of time breaking down the hockey game because it is a hockey game. But it's also an exhibition.
Right.
And it's just such a great example of anything can matter if the guys doing it decide that it does. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is an invented thing.
No, let's not do this. Let's not go back to the NBA All-Star.
Well, it's not even that. It's just kind of everything. You know what I mean? But that is part of it. But it's like this doesn't have to matter.
When I saw the headline, can it be a like springboard for the new? I was like,
the answer is no.
No,
the springboard for the NBA.
No, for their All-Star game. No. Like, no. No, it's not going to be like that.
No, you can't make someone care about something.
No, you can't.
These guys care about it, so they're going for it. Those guys don't, so it is what it is. And if that's to put a bow on that conversation for earlier in the week, like, if you can't be bothered to give an effort, then let's just stop doing it. Because it's not fun for anyone.
They have fun. The players are.
Are they even?
They are. They're out there smiling.
Yeah. Because it seems like they're kind of not. Like, they don't like the format. And Kevin Durant's talking about how people like criticizing the NBA more than watching it. Like,
but it does seem like that, doesn't it?
It feels like a burden to them to even exist at this point.
But it does seem like that. And we talk about that part about it. I do think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that most popular people that are on TV that cover this sport, that play this sport, criticize as much as it is.
Yeah, but I think that I think they're criticizing it for a reason, though, right?
I mean, no.
Do you think they're just bitter?
I would never say they're bitter. These dudes are all time greats. But yeah. I mean,
so when they're criticizing the product.
It's not even about the. It's about constantly criticizing. They're soft. They're this. The game is just different. Mm-hmm. It's different from when you played, and that's the thing about it. It's like, why can't you get out of the way of that? Well, when I played, it ain't like that no more. It just isn't. And so when you constantly are berating a product, obviously the consumer's going to look at it like, you know what? Charles is right. He's a Hall of Famer, Dream Team original. Yeah, I'm going to believe what Charles believes instead of just sitting there watching it and give your own opinion of it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. I don't know. I think it also is. I mean, just from my perspective, I don't have I'm not bitter. I didn't play. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just watched it back then and I watch it now. I like a lot of what it is now, but parts of it I don't.
Yeah.
And really the parts of it that I don't are the competitive parts of it, is the fact that like it does feel like it's like we're asking a favor of you to try hard at it.
Are we talking about the product in general or just the All-Star game?
The All-Star game, like a night-in, night-out basis through 82, like the fact that 48 needs to go to 40 now, 82 needs to go to 50.
We
got
to
do in-season tournaments.
Me and you are always on the same page. Like,
so
you're making it soft.
All that is fair.
Yeah. I agree with that, but I'm just talking about like the criticism of, when we played and all these different things, it's different.
Sure.
Yes, players played more. I love to see your favorite player learn. I do think that if you're a star player and you can go and you come to the East or the West Coast that one time a year, you should play. I do agree with that.
I just think you should play. Like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's the thing.
Job.
My thing is like this. Everybody's so worried about somebody getting hurt.
Right.
Or we got to take a load off of them. These dudes are making $50 million a year to play a sport.
Mm-hmm.
To play a sport. Not solve world
Right.
problems
yeah,
or
we're
nothing
not,
like
we're
that.
We're not fixing issues.
You're playing a game. Go play.
Go play. Yeah,
I mean,
is it fun?
I love it. There's no way in hell you can tell me to miss a game.
Right.
Miss a game?
Yeah.
No.
The games are the best part.
The games are the best part.
I would
bust my ass all week to play this game.
Yeah.
Tape it up.
Yeah, man.
Tape it up and stick a needle in me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So, yeah, I don't know how we got back onto that. But, yeah, there's a hockey game tonight that people are fired up about, which is cool. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at with it, is, like, I don't ever remember really, outside of the Olympics or maybe every once in a while for a Stanley Cup, if you bought into a storyline or something like
right.
that, I don't remember just being here on a on a Thursday in February, like, hey, I'm excited to watch a hockey game tonight. That's kind of cool. It's kind of cool that hockey's been able to do that. And I don't know if it's like a lightning in the bottle that they can build on. I hope that it is. Yeah. But
it was crazy.
This is kind of a fun thing.
We were in Hawaii, and I had my Atlanta Braves visor on. And it was a couple. They were from Canada. And he was like, thank you. And I was like, what? For the hockey team. And I was like, oh, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah. Y'all are the blue. Yeah. Y'all did take our hockey team. And I was like, are they good? He's like, it's like, are they good? He's like, no. He said, but that is the best part about living in Winnipeg because, like you said, it's their pastime.
Yeah.
It's their pastime. So I was like,
you don't hear people talk about that. I mean, it comes up when like NHL expansion and stuff gets talked about down here. But like, I don't hear like furious Thrashers fans all the time.
Right.
Whereas like, there's just sad Sonics fans every day. Did you see what the Seattle mayor did the other day? Why would you have seen this? No one's seen this. But he had like a press conference and he brought out a basketball and was like, I've got an announcement. And then everyone started cheering and he was like, just kidding.
No,
that's not what the
didn't.
Announcement is.
No, the hell he didn't.
That's what happened.
Okay.
That guy needs to be impeached.
I know we talked about not peeing in officials' yards anymore. Oh,
You got to go pee in the mayor's yard. Now.
Yeah, you got to go find a yard.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad move by the mayor of Seattle
to joke
that the Sonics are coming
That's
back.
Bad.
The Hawks are back in action tonight. They will be back tonight. There's no joking around there. And they're taking on the Orlando Magic. The Hawks are in the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference right now. And it's just kind of a hodgepodge of teams that are right there. Saw this morning that Bobby Portis is going to be out for the next 25 games for the Bucks.
Yep.
So maybe they will end up as one of the teams that's in that mix because Giannis is out for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
They have Kyle Kuzma on their team now, which never is good for anybody to have. And Dame probably can't do it all himself.
No.
So that's the fifth team. The Pistons are the sixth team. Mm-hmm. That's who the Hawks play tonight. Be a good idea to beat them if you want to make up ground. The Magic are the seventh team. Hawks are eighth. The Heat are ninth. They're not going anywhere.
No.
And the Bulls and the Sixers are 10th and 11th, and they're both terrible. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, we talked about this yesterday as far as expectations. I still expect the Hawks to probably end the season in the play-in round somewhere in the 7-8 spot. But who knows? Maybe they could play their way out of it. The rest of the teams that are right around them aren't particularly good either, and they're dealing with all kinds of stuff too.
That's the biggest thing, is not to lose ground. I think you want a game, especially because everything you just said as far as the injuries with the whole thing with the Milwaukee team. The Pistons are a good team, but they're not great. We understand that. And so
they got one great player.
He's a great player. Well, but I think the biggest thing with the Hawks is not to lose ground, you know, because you got some good momentum going to the break. I mean, obviously you lost a great game against New York, but now you got this time off, and hopefully the things that you were doing, the veterans that you brought in could continue to play better, and then Trey just continues to do with Trey things. But we talked about it, the whole thing with this whole Ricochet thing, him being more aggressive offensively, because these guys are, when we talk about the future, Jalen Johnson obviously is a part of the futures, but when he comes back, you can integrate him back into these guys. And, you know, as a young player, the more confidence you get going into a season, the better. And to me, he seemed like he's doing it. Because beginning of the year, it was I'm standing in the corner, I'm going to take my opportunities when I can. Now, ain't no more standing in the corner. Give me the damn ball, Trey, and let me go do work. And so I'm excited to see that. Obviously, we talked about Big O. Can he solidify himself as a center for this team of the future?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Different things like that. Because we understand they got this money and everything going into the summer. And a lot of people, ourselves included, thinking they can find a big that can be all-star caliber level or damn near close to it would be a big boost for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they need. They need another player who's an all-star type player.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a five who can stretch the floor, fantastic. I think Onyeka Okongwu is kind of a perfect center off the bench. That's kind of where his contract is right now. Come in, give you those kind of minutes. You could probably even play him with a stretch big, really.
Right.
They could probably play together, and he could slide into the power forward spot defensively. If that all-star is another wing, that's fine too. Like, I think that would be okay. But yeah, I mean, that's what it is. you did the trade deadline the way you did for a reason, to try to free up some money for the offseason to try to add that final piece to the young core that you have in Trae Young. That can't happen until the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you get nothing from being bad. It's not one of those things
where we're
bad. Oh, we can get a better draft position.
No, there's no benefit to being bad. The funny thing is, you need the Lakers to be bad.
Yes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending here to kick off the show on a Trillville Thursday? Like we mentioned, the Hawks are back at it. The post-All-Star game portion of the season tonight. Take on the Orlando Magic. Pregame at 7. Tip-off at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Everybody's healthy, yeah, which is good. So you enter the second half of the season with that benefit. And like you talked about, we've talked about a lot since the Jalen Johnson injury. Now we really start focusing on the development of Zachary Risacher. Trae Young, obviously still the centerpiece of what they're going to do. And I guess we get to see some of the new additions and what they add to the mix.
What about one old addition?
One old addition.
Clint.
Clint's back.
He's back.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Clint will probably be back.
You remember, I was like, oh, boy, back's back right for the trade deadline, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So now Clint has 30 games or so to prove to the rest of the NBA that he's worth the next contract.
Okay.
Because I think they've been trying to move him for a minute.
Like 3 years.
Yeah. This man survived more speculation than John Collins, than DeJounte, Cam Reddish. Like, he shrugged off more deadlines and off seasons than any of those
guys.
Do you think
that the Hawks didn't like the offers or the teams didn't want him?
I think that's the second part.
Okay.
But probably the return too. I think probably 2 to tango kind of situation.
All right. Like, we're not going to give him away.
Yeah, we're just going to give him to
right.
You got to give us a draft pick.
Okay.
We don't have any draft picks.
Right.
We gave them all to those guys for this guy, mm-hmm. this guy who we have now. And now they have our draft picks over there. I don't know. But this is kind of one of the things they've been over the last 5 years is like, can't really trade guys when they want them,
no.
when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes them forever to trade a guy when
right.
they want to. Like, they got Bogey off their hands this trade deadline, but like, that's almost a miracle for this group. You know, when they want to trade a guy, it takes them 3 off seasons to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it took 18 months to finally trade John Collins.
Didn't they have to send some with John?
Yeah. And they gave him a contract before they traded him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They've been wanting to trade John forever, and then they finally did it. Like, tried to trade Clint a bunch of times. They tried to trade DeAndre Hunter and couldn't because
yeah.
nobody wanted him.
And then finally, when people wanted him,
yeah, then they were able to move him. But I realize trades in the NBA aren't as easy as we make them seem. But
it always seems like it's difficult here.
Every time anybody's going to get traded from here, we know about it a year in advance.
Yeah, well, he'll be traded next year. Okay, well, we'll sit around and just enjoy his time while he's here.
Yeah.
And then, oh, he's not moved, so he'll be here another year. Then he'll be here another year.
I'm sure he's going to enjoy that process. I'm sure he's going to love being dangled.
Who's the fastest person they traded with? Cam Reddish, because Cam didn't want to be here.
Yeah, Cam got traded pretty quick.
They didn't want Cam. So
yeah.
It's like, all right, no, you can go.
That wasn't even trade deadline. They
yeah.
just traded Cam
yeah.
in December.
You remember that? It was like, we don't want this guy any damn more, man. Let's get him up out of here.
Yeah, like, all right. Enough of that. And now Cam and Luka are teammates.
Yeah.
And we need them to suck so the Hawks would get a better draft pick, because the Hawks have the Lakers draft pick coming up this year.
Wow. They're going to be bad, because Luka's going to be.
I think, you know, like, their record right now is to where they got a little buffer. They're 11 games over 500, so They're probably not going to, but they're still only four games in the win column above Golden State, who's 10th.
Yeah, but I think that they're
not going to fall all the way out of it.
I don't know. They were talking, dude, they got like eight.
The Lakers.
Yeah, they got like eight pairs of back to backs. They got another one tonight. Ooh. Matter of fact, they got to go to Portland. So,
dang.
You know, with him struggling, LeBron being where he is,
yeah,
they might, dude.
It's interesting, the dynamic last night, because obviously Luka, his whole life has been the guy that takes the shot,
mm-hmm.
right? LeBron had two looks at the game winner, game tying mm-hmm. three last night.
Game winning.
And obviously missed them both. And Luka was trash last night, so I understand why they didn't give him no shot. He was one of nine from three, I get it.
But this is the crazy thing, because, you know, because obviously he missed out on the Supermax and all those different things, but he could still sign an extension with the Lakers this summer. What if he don't sign it? They're screwed.
Oh, God. Yeah, then they'd
they're
be
screwed.
Then they'd be in big trouble.
I mean, but
then the Mavericks win the trade.
Yeah, but he'd be. What if he's like, I don't want to go here. I want to go. Who's one of his boys in the league? Well, they all want to play for Dallas now. But I want to go back.
Oh, who are you talking about?
Luka.
Oh, Luka. Okay.
Yeah, they're screwed.
Yeah, I don't know who Luka's friends are.
Yeah, they're like, if they don't get an opportunity, I'm sure he'll sign it. It's still the Lakers.
He'll sign
and everything. He'll sign it. But if he don't,
and it's still $245 million.
$225 million. Get that for somebody else?
From anywhere. Yeah. Max contract for anywhere. That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe here.
Trey and Luka?
Yeah.
Why not?
I'd take it.
Why not?
He put the hat on.
He did.
He had the hat on.
He did.
The dumbest thing the NBA still does is make these guys put the hats on, even when everybody knows they're going to be traded. The only thing that does is give fans, like, ammo down the road to be mad at their team.
Yeah.
You know? There's no reason for there to be a picture of Luka in a Hawks hat.
They need to do it like how Eli. Remember Eli would put on that Chargers hat?
Yeah, they'll put it on.
Yeah, Eli would not put on that damn Chargers hat.
Put it on.
Yeah.
All right, so this came across this morning, and Rusty texted it to us. I hadn't seen it till Rusty hit us up. Apparently, Carson Beck and his girlfriend, the basketball player at Miami, had their three cars stolen from their beachfront condo last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they living it up.
You're doing work to have three cars stolen?
Three cars in a beachfront condo. He living good down there,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah.
But I would be, too, though. Right. I would be. But the thing with it is, you know, you need to know where you live at, man. Now this was a calculated type thing.
Yeah,
this was a calculated. Like they knew those three cars belonged to them, and it was very calculated. I mean, I lived in Miami for almost 10 years. I had my car stolen.
You did?
Now it was my fault.
Okay,
it was my fault because I left the key fob in my other car, and they broke it in that car, and then they took the key fob.
And like, ooh, looky here.
Yeah, they found the car. They found the car. They found the car. There wasn't no damage to it or anything. But
okay.
I've had teammates dude. Don't be down there flexing in this city that you ain't from.
Yeah.
Come back to man, they stole my car. I was like, the whole car? He's like, yeah, man, what I'm going to do? I was like, I don't ever tell you, bro.
Call the insurance
But I know
company?
What I told you not to do. I know what I told you not to do. But
what? You know what? I'm ignorant as far as a lot of the stuff like this goes.
Yeah.
Like when you have a nice car
mm-hmm.
and it gets stolen
mm-hmm.
and it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like likely you're already schooling me to what's going on with his cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably on a shipping container
Carson,
south.
If they don't find Carson's cars.
So what
they
happens?
Are on a ship container. They're in a shipping container.
But he's got insurance for these cars, I would assume.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Yeah,
like they
one.
Just get you another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, that car is in, I don't know, but it's South America.
Yeah, the car's headed to
Colombia. Yeah, if they don't find it,
okay.
Hell yeah, it's somewhere on the...
Because them
containers right down the street, bunk.
Because in my mind, like, I've never, you know, I've never existed in the world of Lamborghinis and all that.
Right.
I've existed in the world of Toyota Camrys, which are easy to steal.
And you can easy to ride around and joyride
That's
in.
The thing.
You're not going to joyride in.
You steal somebody's Toyota Camry, you just flip the license plate and scratch off the VIN, and you can drive that thing for 5 years.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
Right.
Like, there's 100 Toyota Camrys out there. A million Toyota Camrys. No one's going to know. You can't just steal somebody's orange Lamborghini and drive it to work the next day.
No, you know, you can't do that. That's what I'm saying. It's on a container.
Yeah.
Or it's down there in Little Havana being stripped. One of the two.
And it is, you know, because I'm, you know, everybody, we're trying to grow as people, as men. I'm trying my best to have my first reaction to be like, oh, man, that's too bad. Man got his car stolen.
That's
not my first reaction.
What is your first reaction?
Maybe you shouldn't be flexing on social media all the time.
God, don't be that guy.
Maybe people wouldn't know what you have, where you have it, when you're home.
I agree with that.
Where you
but
live.
Still, but still, you got to feel bad.
I know I should feel bad,
man,
but like for some reason my reaction
stolen.
Is like.
He got his car stolen. He got his car stolen.
Why
man?
Is that's my first reaction?
That's not a good thing.
I know it isn't.
That's not a good
thing. And I want my first reaction to be like, oh, man,
anybody who's ever had their car stolen.
But my first reaction is. just like, to kind of chuckle.
Or broken into, you sympathize. Like, damn, dog. You know what I mean? Like, come on, Buck.
I know. I'm trying to do better. I want my first reaction to be like, dang, that's too bad for Carson.
Yeah.
But my first reaction was,
but I mean, until I had my
what's wrong with me?
Until I had mine, and I told the young dudes, I was like, do not be down there flexing down in Miami. You stay out. We live up here in Fort Lauderdale. All right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. We play for the team that says Miami Dolphins. We don't live down there. So don't be down there in your damn cars with the windows down, music blasting right through these dudes' hoods.
Yeah.
Because they're going to come take your car.
Yeah, they see it. They like it.
They like it. They're going to come take it.
But Carson did even worse.
Carson lives on the beach.
He put it on the internet for everyone to see all the time.
I never seen
that. I don't either, but
yeah, I don't know if he put it on the internet. I know everybody knows that he has this Lamborghini. But I mean,
you're advertising to the crooks what you have, where you live.
But why can't I have nice stuff and put it on the Instagram?
Sure.
That don't mean it should be stolen.
It shouldn't be.
No, that don't mean
but it might be.
But but it don't mean it should be.
You're helping them.
No, you're not helping them, because there's plenty of people that show their cars on the TV and on the Instagram and don't get their car stolen.
Right. Are there?
Yes.
I don't know.
There's plenty of people that don't get their car stolen because they put it on the gram.
Well, then why did he get his stolen?
Because it was a fancy car. Why? I mean, so you think that everybody who cars get stolen, they put it on Instagram?
No, I'm saying you're just making it easier for them. You're telling them where it is, what it is, when you're, because you know how people are. I'm live from the gym now.
They sit there.
Your schedule.
They sit there and wait too.
They know everything.
Yes.
All I'm saying is you made it easier for them to do it by telling them all of your business all the time on social media.
We don't disagree there, yeah. But again, there's plenty of people that get their car stolen all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Criminals
are good at stealing. That's what they do.
And they sit outside of where he sits, where he lives at, where I'm pretty sure the area he lives at. That's all they do is sit there and wait for some people to come in and out of them damn garages. All right, when it's up, it goes down slowly, sneak in here, just sit here and wait for them.
That's a shame.
Because you can steal any. Ain't no car unstealable.
It's a shame they got his cars. I feel badly about it.
You should.
I do. I feel really bad about it. We're going to come back and kind of talk about that in a different way. Like all these guys that have cars that didn't used to, but now they do. College football, playoff expansion, NIL, everything that they're talking about in New Orleans. Not everybody's talking about it. The commissioners of the Big Ten and the SEC are talking about it. We'll get into that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, this hour brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at padlybuys.com. Get into an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes from right now, top of the noon hour. In the 1 o'clock hour, Smoke and Joe Patrick's going to join us as the Combine is a week away in Indy. Falcons Brain Trust going to be up there. We'll talk to Raheem Morris on Tuesday next week. Head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris, Tuesday at 11:25. So our first opportunity to talk to him since the season ended.
Oh, man. Because we talked to him, because I think something happened. Some guy rescheduled, because remember we had him on the show.
Yeah.
Because we were up in Flowery instead of Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, maybe it was the Monday night.
I think something like that.
Something.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, that was the last time I know we had an opportunity to talk to him. So, yeah, look forward to that conversation. Obviously, the obvious thing is going to be about the whole Kirk Cousins thing, what was said at Super Bowl. But now, we all know what the process is going to be. You know, and they'll wait up to the last minute, the last day, or the last hour before they have to release. I would go ahead and do it right now. It's going to get it out the way.
I would have done it Wednesday of Super Bowl week.
But you just think sometimes, just hold out for a sucker.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Yeah, just hold out.
I get it. I get it. Yeah, that would have been emotional too.
Yeah.
As we're talking yesterday about you can't keep him out of pettiness, just emotional decision making.
Right.
You probably can't cut him the next day out of emotion either, even though, you know, my thing was more about, like, I can't have this guy representing my organization anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't be down there with a Falcons shirt on walking around giving interviews.
Exactly.
And he stopped giving interviews, so maybe there's some sort of communication.
Because they said they haven't talked to him, so I'm sure somebody reached out to
him. You made your point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sure somebody reached out to
him. You talked to the NFL Network. You talked to Diana Rossini. You said what you said, okay?
Yeah.
You planted the seed that you needed to plant.
All right, now take my damn t-shirt off.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, you're right. You got to do your due diligence and hope there's a sucker and somebody would be willing to make you a trade and you can get something in return for him. And then there's a not really a clean break because you still got to pay him for a couple of years, but you can at least move on in that direction. But anyway, we'll talk to Raheem Morris about all things Falcons next Tuesday at 11:25 as they're getting ready for the combine. One of the things that's going on this week, and it's hard because nothing has happened like concrete yet. We're just getting reporting from what the SEC Brain Trust and what the Big Ten Brain Trust are discussing in their meetings about the college ball playoff in New Orleans. And I think we all kind of know where it's going. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what exactly is going to happen. I mean, the playoff's going to expand. When it got to 12, it was always going to get to 14 or 16.
Yeah.
It's going to do that. Obviously, you're hearing they're pushing for more auto bids for those two conferences, mm-hmm. four auto bids for the SEC, four auto bids for the Big Ten.
I think that sucks.
I think it sucks, too.
Like, four auto bids.
I think it sucks a lot.
What if they're not good?
What if they're not good?
Exactly.
What if there's a year where the conference isn't good?
Yeah.
And if the conference is so good, then just qualify.
It should not have. You should not need four autos.
And I always thought, like from the SEC perspective, I always thought Greg Sankey's position was we want all at-larges.
Yeah.
Because if they're all at-larges, we're going to get more teams in than anybody.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. And that's a we believe in our ability to be more talented than you on a year-in, year-out basis.
Right.
And we're doing this. I don't know. Maybe last year, the last couple of years, not winning a championship. I really have no idea. But, like, we got to guarantee some stuff here.
Oh.
We got to have some automatic kickback.
And that just sounds weak.
Year.
That sounds weak as hell.
It sounds real weak.
It just sounds real weak. It sounds weak as hell.
So yeah. There's opinions across the board on it from people that I haven't really heard anybody that loves it, but there's people that hate it. I want to get the Michael Wilbon thing from yesterday, and then we can kind of get into all the different ins and outs and reasons for why maybe some of it's not as bad or some of it is worse than it sounds. Yeah, I tend to agree with a lot of what he said.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we talked about this, when these conferences are rivalries, things that you love about college football. I mean, I don't find myself not loving college football any less than I always have. But it's getting to a point where it's like, okay, the money thing, we already know. That is what it is. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're trying to exclude teams, and obviously every conference ain't the same. I understand that. I understand that the Big Ten, the SEC are the two power conferences. I get it because of the talent, of the talent of the teams. But there's other conferences that play good ball. And if anything didn't show you, like, did you take that damn Arizona State team that came in here and played their ass off and probably should have won that damn football game, mm-hmm. you know? But I know there's certain instances where you're going to have an Arizona State team. I don't expect Arizona State to be that good again.
No, but somebody might.
But somebody will.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for you to sit there and say, well, we need these amount of guarantees.
Yeah.
I just find that whatever.
Yeah. No, I find it to be very soft.
A guaranteed bit? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
And again, I get why they're doing it because you're protecting the check. Like, if it goes to 16 and you get one quarter of the teams in guaranteed every single year, and probably some at-large bids too, there's going to be years where you get almost half the teams in the college ball playoff. I think you would anyway if there wasn't auto bids for the conference, if the conference was as good as it's been most years, mm-hmm. maybe not last year, but most years. I just think, you know, there's so many issues with the direction that it seems to be going that are at play at the same time. Like, it feels like, and I understand why they would do this from a money standpoint and a popularity standpoint, because the NFL is just so powerful to try to structure your thing after what they're doing. The problem is, I mean, there's a lot of problems with that. But one of the biggest problems with that is the NFL functions the way that it does because it's a 32-team system built for 32 teams. If you're trying to build that type of system with 75 teams,
somebody's got to cut out. You need to cut it to 40.
Then right.
Yes.
And if you do that, then you're just flat out excluding large swaths
but
of the college football public.
Andy, I think a lot of people, and I always go back to my references who I learned a lot of college football, the ins and outs from John and Fricky and Chuck Green, Goforth, is they want that's going to happen if they go to these super conferences that they're talking about. When they go to that, and you're going to go into a point where, okay, well, Vanderbilt, you know what? You could go. Let's get another team that's a possibility to get one of these at-large bid. That's what is going to eventually happen. You're going to go to maybe 50 teams, for a 16-team playoff or something like that. And, yeah, that's going to be the exclusion part of it. But if the money's rolling in, because I always said this about college, and this is years back, they would never pay the players. They're playing the players.
Yeah,
they would
not,
never
not
do
only.
This. They would never do that. Dude, all this is coming to a head now. Mm-hmm. And then you got the two biggest egomania. I don't say call them egomania because I like Greg Sankey. But the biggest egos in college football, the commissioner of the SEC and the commissioner of the Big Ten, I think they got like some Nico Collins, Robert Pelinka type conversation going on.
Yeah, that's what they're doing right now.
Yes.
In New Orleans.
But I'm saying no, that we don't even know about.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, there's some like real sneaky
like some
stuff.
Real sneaky stuff going on right now between them two gentlemen, trying to figure out how they can just completely just damn the ACC, damn the Big 12.
Or maybe not all of them. They might want Clemson and Florida State.
Hey, Clemson, y'all come over here.
Right.
Or some. Well, I mean, Big 12. Hey, Colorado, we want this brand. We want prime time
maybe.
In our conference.
Yeah,
you know, that's what's going to eventually happen.
Right. The problem with that then is even if you are able to cull it down to whatever team, however many it is, 40, whatever, 50. 50 is still a lot for a 16-team playoff with auto bids and all of that. Then you just excluded, I don't know what percentage of the college football fans in the country, which is tough.
Because
I think what they're trying to do, which again, like that logic, that thought process of emulating the NFL because of the popularity of the NFL at least tracks a little bit, even though there's a lot of flaws in the logic.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is twofold. They have us, right? They have you and me mm-hmm. and the diehards. Like, we're going to watch.
Yes.
I'm going to watch Washington games, even if they're in the Big Ten. It kind of sucked, but whatever. You're going to watch Georgia games no matter what happens. And, like, by and large, I think a lot of the people that are listening to us are kind of like that. What they're trying to do is get the other people.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get the casual fan. And I think that their thought process is by trimming it down to just the big brands and having more, you know, matchup of the century games like they had last year. Every weekend they tried to convince us it was a matchup of the century. You might get the casual fan in college football. I just don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's going to work like that.
I think that they're
miscalculating what the NFL has and does and why it works and trying to emulate it in a system that's built on something completely different.
I like the fact that you have that, what you were just talking about, the game of history. I love it. I love the fact that the big schools play each other. I really, really do. And it's unfortunate because of those teams. And those games eventually are going to go away. But the teams that come in for that bread. Now, the funniest thing was
you're talking about here happens, those games are gone.
All that is done.
Non-conference games are going to be
dead. Sitting there talking, like listening to Coach Prime one time when he was talking about that aspect of it. And it's like, you don't get as much money as you think you are because you got overhead. You got to fly the team out there. You got to get the hotel. All that money comes out of the money that this school is giving you. And so, yeah, all that's going to go away. But the NFL model, and I saw Rusty, he just said something. Yeah, because most teams are going with this new format as far as the NFL type off seasons with the OTAs and all this other stuff and eliminating spring games, all those different things. Like, there's so much tradition and pageantry that's going out of college football right now. So they can make it more like that. Eventually, I don't know how they work on this, but the collective bargain is going to have to happen.
Exactly.
That is the ultimate thing.
That's the biggest problem they have.
It's going to have to happen.
Right now.
Yes.
Like, conference realignment has screwed everything up in terms of what they're trying to do for the playoff. But I think ultimately the end goal, like we've been talking about for a decade, is big time conference realignment and only have the biggest brands invited to this party, which I think has long-term ramifications that aren't good. But you can't do any of this stuff if you don't have a model, like a financial model, a contract-based model.
Yes.
You can't have free transfers.
No. You got
in that model.
No.
Like, it's chaos already.
Yes.
If you do it where there's just 40 teams that people want to play for,
you guys
are going to be trading teams at halftime.
It's going to be that, and then you're going to go back to this. I don't know how you get out. Coaches, son, I know that you're under scholarship, but we got to take it away because there's a better defensive lineman that we want.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He's coming over from wherever.
Yep.
He's better than you. Sorry. Y'all want to switch places? Or it could go like that.
Trades.
Hey. College coaches.
But like,
they all got GMs now. Mm-hmm. They all got GMs in college.
But like that, none of this can really work if the players aren't treated like employees.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying to professionalize the whole thing,
you can't half-ass it.
You can't professionalize all of it except for the labor. Like, because those guys have done a really good job of, through the legal system, fighting back and getting a ton of autonomy, which, again, I support the pursuit. like everything else is being grabbed. Like everything else is a greed grab right now. The players absolutely should be doing the same thing because they're just trying to get their piece as well. They're also leading by example or following by the example that's being led by the coaches, athletic directors, conference commissioners, TV executives that are just grabbing at every penny that's on the table. They're like, all right, well, if I switch schools four times in 4 years, I can up the ante every single time in my NIL return. So what am I supposed to do?
Exactly. I think people thought that Lane Kiffin was crazy when he said, like, whatever quarterback it was, go in the portal.
Yeah.
Get the price up.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Right.
Because the thing about it, if okay, I'm going to ask you, you know what? I know I'm making $1 million. I want $2 million. I can't do that. So I'm going to portal. Oh, well, come back to him. Hey, well, this school's offered me 2.5. Can you match it?
Right.
I mean, it sucks.
It does.
Yeah, but it's good for the kids to be able to because the NIL thing went out the window. All right, we know this ain't what it is. The name, image, and like, that was a good try.
Right.
It was a great try when it first came out. And then it just went away from that into, hey, I got $1.5 million right here.
Right.
How much they give you?
I also think, though,
they give you $700.
I think, though, you know, what you said was partially true. I think it's good for some of the kids. I think it's good for the kids that get to do it.
Yeah.
It's not good for the kid, like you just said, who was the defensive lineman who just got replaced.
Yeah.
And now he's got to go someplace else. Or the kid who thought he was going to do something and it didn't work out for him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Or the high school kid that can't get his letter of intent signed because they think they're getting those guys.
Those are the ones.
It's good for,
those are
it's
the
good
ones.
For a couple kids.
Yeah, the great ones.
Yeah.
The great
But
ones.
It's not good for all the kids. You know what I mean? So we always say, well, it's good for the kids.
The great ones.
Like, it's not really good for the kids either because there's so many of them that are, you know, that are not those guys. It's not good for the fans. It's not good for the coaches. Like, it's good for the NIL collectives, I suppose, but
not really.
They're getting bailed on half the time, too.
That's got to be a mother.
Yeah. It's like, so that's a part of it that, like, look, you're going to have to come to an, it's 50, 55. It's only 54. Just, you come to an agreement with yourself mentally about all of the other stuff that you're going to miss. Like, college football is changing, and that's what happened. But if they really want this to work, they have to do that.
Yes.
You have to treat the players as employees, get a contract situation, collective bargaining, however you want to do it. But that part of the professional aspect of it has to exist if all of the other parts of the professional aspect of it exist. This hour has been brought to you by Padley.
Any.
Well,
they got to figure it out.
They're going to have to. Padley, sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.